Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we're going to talk about something referenced in a whole lot of these episodes. It's one of the best things about being trans for me and for most trans people. And it's also something cis people can experience too. Gender euphoria. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the lady who gave me wings so I could fly, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
Our guest...
What?
Well, you did.
It relates to the topic that we're going to talk about.
Okay,
we'll get there.
All right.
Our returning guest is Theo Embeck, a therapist by day and weird theater maker by night. He's a connoisseur of trash, Hallmark movies, Reddit train wrecks, and reading or listening to recaps of bad books. Welcome back, Theo.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell me more about being a trash connoisseur. What is it that draws you in?
I think it's about hubris.
Okay.
I think there's something that really tickles me about a big swing and a miss.
Okay.
And I also sometimes think that makes amazing art.
It does.
And sometimes it makes beautiful, bad art that I love so much.
You know, my thought about it has always been that I will always respect a really big swing that misses rather than just the same old repetitive safe stuff. You know, I want people mm-hmm. in their art to take big swings, to take chances, to try something new and wild and bizarre. Mm-hmm. If it works, it's amazing. And even when it doesn't, sometimes it's still amazing.
Yeah. I've actually been less excited about Hallmark in the last couple of years because it feels like it had a few years and I weirdly have opinions about, you know, changing Hallmark CEOs, but I won't get into now, but there were a few years where they were trying more things and there were some wacky movies coming out. And I often watch, despite being Jewish, I often watch a lot of their Christmas movies, which start airing in October. And
yeah.
and this year they were so paint by numbers, and I think the way that people often imagine that they are,
sure,
you know, there's all sorts of, you know, parody videos on social media of a high-powered exec woman coming to a small town to
to
find her high school boyfriend
and leave her city life behind to go sell her Christmas trees or whatever.
Leave her city life and her fiance with a job, etc. But there were a couple years of some real wackadoo Hallmark movies. There's a Hanukkah movie where the premise is that it's Groundhog Day, basically, where this person keeps repeating the seventh night of Hanukkah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got weird for a minute and then it got unweird.
Yeah, I remember there was one we watched a few years ago because it had a couple of Star Trek actors in it. Again, giant nerds. And it was about this woman who time travels back to the 40s where they're making a movie in a hotel. And it was like actually pretty good. And I was like, this is wild. You remember that one? Jonathan Frakes was in it. Robert Picardo.
Oh, we did watch that because of Star Trek.
Actor. Right. We're like, let's give it a shot. And it was actually pretty entertaining.
Well, I'm just thinking about how media has become so much more conservative and it just makes me very angry.
Yeah.
I blame Yellowstone for this.
I mean,
100%.
I think Yellowstone is a symptom rather than part of the cause.
Really?
Yeah.
It became so successful. And so
no, I know.
I want to chase that.
But I think it became successful because of the sort of shift in the culture, which... Like every year I do...
I'm making a terrible face.
I do big trans rep and media reports and I log every movie and TV show that I watch for a year, and all of the trans rep that's in it on screen and behind the scenes, and also jokes at trans people's expenses. And by the way, the one for 2025 is coming up starting next week, so stay tuned for that, listeners. But there was a shift there that you could see even before Trump got reelected. There was a shift. There was a time where it got a little bit better, where like there was actually more trans people than jokes about us. Like, whoa, what happened? And then over the 2 years leading up to that, it just shifted the other way into where it's just the representation took a nosedive, and it was never great to begin with, but it was slightly getting better. And now it's gone the other way again. And that, well, maybe that sort of mirrors when Yellowstone got popular. I'm not sure what years it was on, but.
Anyway,
Yeah, anyway, we're getting
back
off
on the
topic here.
sewer.
Going
Yes,
back
we're
to
back.
Hallmark movies, I've mentioned them before in how they reinforce so many of them, the sort of compulsory cisgender heterosexuality of society with their, cis man, cis woman romances all the time. Have they gotten better on that front? Like, it seems to me there's more queer ones, but I don't think they've ever had a trans person appear yet.
There's a little more queer ones. There's a few more queer ones.
Okay.
There was a Lesbians Adopting a Baby movie as the final Christmas movie this year. It was pretty cute.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. And they cast queer actresses.
We love to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, I'm not aware of any trans characters appearing in Hallmark.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine. It feels like it should be so close, but it's still hard to imagine.
Yeah.
I have noticed that a lot of my favorites have non-binary actors who are playing cis.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know if they just, I think, I don't know if they just hire them for the weirder ones. Genuinely,
Oh, well,
I'm
that
not
would say
sure.
something strange. Oh, dear. Okay.
And it's a small, sample size. I think those folks
Yeah.
are also a little bit, the folks that I've seen that I know are non-binary tend to be just a little bit bigger, a little more presentational, I think, in their
Okay.
acting. A little bit of theater kid energy.
We could
So
all
I
use a
think
little
that,
of that. Yeah.
yeah. So I think that may also be that they end up in some of the like more formally wonky ones.
Yeah. All right. Well, for you, what has been the most surprising thing about your transition?
I think kind of counterintuitively, how much easier I feel in myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think I was trying to think of something that felt like a shock,
Sometimes
and I
there's small
think,
little things that we just never anticipated.
I think what ultimately surprises me is just feeling better moving through the world. And particularly, I know in the last episode we recorded, I mentioned there's some medical transition stuff that I would like to do that I'm not able to do for health reasons.
Yeah.
And it is still surprising how much, moving through the world with, a different outfit and a buzz cut and a new name still feels really lovely.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. Like, I don't know how it was for you, but like pre-transition, I felt like transition would probably help me, but I felt like I didn't know the extent to which it could help me. Like the surprise that I got from that is just like I didn't know it was possible to wake up and not hate every single inch of my body and not feel miserable every day. Like I didn't know what that was like or that it could even be possible. And so yeah, it's wild when it happens. You're like, what is this? I don't feel horrible.
Yeah, I think for me, I think the dysphoria didn't hit that hard until I let myself admit that I wanted to transition.
Oh, then it gets even harder. Yeah.
And then it was that I was sort of, I think I was less in the constant dysphoria camp and more in the sort of I just don't exist kind of
Sure.
camp.
Yeah.
It's everything's fine and I'm existing in a normal way. And I think there certainly was dysphoria, but I for a lo for an embarrassingly long time, I just sort of thought, well, just nobody likes to be a woman.
I
And,
had the exact same
obviously,
reverse of that. Nobody likes
yeah,
being
and,
a guy.
obviously trans women are women, because like you, I mean, you wouldn't choose this. And so I was sort of, I wasn't, like, oh, I'm at peace with this, but it was just like, well, it's just a fact of life. So you just, I just got, I rolled the lottery. I mean, I rolled the lottery. I rolled the dice and I lost the lottery. And
Sure. It's a dice
sure,
lottery. It works. Let's
it's
go
the
with
dice lottery. Oh, no. Yeah. And so li living in a body and not feeling like, well, I guess this is just how it is. It's nice.
Yeah, I had that whole thing where, like, simultaneously, especially when I was a kid, I was sure that I was the only person who'd ever felt this way. But I was also sure that every boy just clearly wanted to be a girl because girls were better. And these two things, despite the fact that they're totally contradictory, existed in my head at the exact same time. And so, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. I just thought I was a feminist, which, I am, but that's not, as it turns out, really a feature of feminism.
Did you also go through that stage where you're like, I'm not trans, I'm just a really, really good trans ally. I
Oh,
just really
yes.
support the
Oh,
transies.
yes.
They deserve better treatment and rights. I'm such a good cis ally.
And I think it's really virtuous that I'm consuming all this trans media. I just think that, it's really about just sort of getting to know what's going on here. And
Exactly. There's no
yeah.
ulterior motives at all. Okay, if you had any advice for someone who is just starting their transition, or if there was something you wish that you knew going in ahead of time, what would that be?
Read trans books.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that I think obviously follow trans artists in every medium.
Yeah.
Obviously follow trans creators on social media, but I think particularly the sort of following trans creators on social media thing, you're getting people presenting a version of themselves that they want to present publicly. And I think in my experience in books, you get a lot more of the sort of messy stuff and the stuff that feels contradictory and the stuff that feels difficult. And for me, that was such a big part of feeling less alone.
Sure, that makes a lot
Was
of
sort of
sense.
going, not just here are all these ways that I can be trans, but here's sort of, this way that I'm feeling where I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm not doing it right, is a thing a lot of people are, it turns out, feeling. Sometimes even the people probably who are, on Instagram looking just as confident as possible.
It's a thing that I've liked to say on this show multiple times is that, there is no one right way to be trans, but we all absorb so many messages that are kind of contradictory to that, and here's the right way to be a man and here's the right way to be a woman. You can't deviate from that, or then maybe you're not really a trans man or trans woman, and it's all bullshit, but it's hard to deal with. So I think that's great advice, that to just like absorb as much trans media as you can and get all these varying ideas and pictures in your head of all the myriad beautiful ways there are to be a trans person, because we're all so different and fascinating, and I love that. I love it. That's part of the reason I love having guests like you on the show, is because we get to learn about all the wild, beautiful, different ways trans people are, and we're just as varied as cis people. And I love being able to show the world, like, look at all these different beautiful trans people that are here, and they're all so different, and everybody's just as valid as everyone else, and we all have our own stories. And talking about it, I think, is so important, and it helps, people listening to. You could be anything. You could be anything. You could be like anyone. Find out who you are. All right. Well, I've probably mentioned this episode more than any other for obvious reasons, but if you haven't heard it yet, be sure you are familiar with the other side of this coin, gender dysphoria, that was covered in episode 59. Again, not all trans people experience gender dysphoria, though most do. And you need not have gender dysphoria to be trans. Just say no to trans medicalism. Check out episode 60 if you don't know what that is, because you should know so you too can cast it into the abyss. Gender euphoria is quite literally the exact opposite of gender dysphoria. It's a feeling not just of contentment, but absolute unbridled joy brought about by, of all things, your gender, which might seem strange. So let's talk about that a little. I spent my entire life being told I was a boy and a man and was expected to behave, dress, and live accordingly. And that gave me a massive amount of dysphoria, even beyond the physical issues of feeling like my body wasn't mine. See Bodily Autonomy in episode 55 for more on that. So when I began trying to figure out why I felt that way and coming to terms with my transness, I started experimenting with doing things that weren't necessarily even feminine, but were anti-masculine, if that makes any kind of sense. This involves a lot of things that I've talked about, like growing out my hair. See the essays at
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
Experimenting with makeup, which had always terrified me. See Halloween and the fear of embracing your true self in episode 123. And changing my clothes. See heavily gendered clothes and trans people in episode 15. If you listen and read through those, I think you can spot the parts where they cause gender euphoria, even if I didn't mention it by name. Though I think I did. Listen, I don't have time to go back and check them all right now. Give a gal a break. And okay, I hear you say, but makeup and women's clothes are feminine and girly things, at least to some degree. You don't have to shout at me, okay? I hear you. And so I will now direct you to episode 9 on body hacking, which includes discussion of the first women's clothes I ever owned and the first time I ever experienced gender euphoria. Yes, the first women's clothes I owned was just a running hoodie, but you likely wouldn't know that if it wasn't sold in the women's section. A running hoodie is just a running hoodie. It's cut a little different from a men's hoodie, but honestly, I don't think you could tell if you're not wearing it. And I will never, ever forget the way it made me feel. I said that it felt like I was flying, and it did, and it still does, only now basically all my clothes make me feel that way to varying degrees. And friends, the only better feeling than gender euphoria is love. And like, yes, I am aware of sex and pizza and the way it feels to clean an itchy ear with a Q-tip. Gender euphoria is better than all of them. And it feels like flying because, as I mentioned in the episode on gender dysphoria, which again was episode 59, and multiple times throughout many Trans Tuesdays, dysphoria can feel like a crushing weight that is just destroying you. And when you remove that weight or even lessen it just a little, you feel weightless. And that applies to almost everything in life. If you're overloaded with work, clearing it off your plate can sometimes make you feel better than if you'd never had it stressing you in the first place. If you carry something heavy and then set it down and pick up something not as heavy, the new thing feels even lighter than it should. That's just how our brains perceive things. It's part of the reason baseball players put those weighted donuts on their bat while warming up. It makes it feel lighter when you're actually batting. I played a ton of baseball as a kid. That might be the first time I ever experienced anything like that. Do you remember the first time you experienced gender euphoria, Theo?
Yes, and I'm a basic boy, and it was a haircut.
Yeah! I love that, though.
Yeah, I did the barber cut. And then posted a million pictures of myself with just handsome in all caps.
That's so good. I love it. Were you prepared for that? Like, did you expect it was going to make you feel that way?
I was pretty sure it was going to make me feel something. It was it was something I'd been sitting on for a while. I actually first got a short, this is not the time, I actually got a first got a short haircut in high school, and the first time I remember walking around with it, I was 14, I was like, this is the best. I look amazing. I'm so excited. And I had these little stupid round wire rim glasses, and I went to school, and like, am I allowed to say the wizard name?
Oh, well, you know what, we all have a complicated relationship with it, but we all know who you're talking about.
The other kids at my high school called me the boy wizard, and I didn't like that then, not for the same reasons, but that's not what I was going for. And then I tried again, and I came out looking like Malibu Ken, and I just at some point went like, well, I just wasn't meant to be butch. Mm. And then I grew out my hair for years and years and years. I just sort of went like, well, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then doing it in my 30s, it was, I think I had that sort of specter hanging over me of like, well, people are just going to make fun of me, so.
Sure.
But I went for it, and then nobody did, because we're all adults now.
Okay, so you went in thinking that it was going to maybe make you feel better, but did you know, like, I guess that it was possible to, like, feel that good? Because, like, I never knew what gender euphoria was going to be. I didn't know it was possible, right? When the first time I felt it, I'm like, what the hell is happening to me? It feels like this just unbelievable rush. It was so hard to even comprehend it. It blew my mind.
It was cool. I feel like it kind of came in waves for me. Like that was a big one.
Yeah.
And then I think one really special one for me was trans woman friend who transitioned like right around when I was,
Yeah.
gave me a bunch of her old clothing.
Oh, I love that
And
when the
that
trans
was
people
like
do the clothing swap.
totally, we've all done
Yeah.
it. And so that felt, I don't know, that felt cool both because I was looking in the mirror and really liking what I saw. And
Yeah.
also it felt, I don't know, it felt a little like being anointed. Like, all right, well, she's passing the mantle and now this is, you know, now I'm taking this on.
Yeah.
Now it's official. That's right. I love
Yeah,
that.
yeah. We had to swap, I guess. We had to swap genders.
Yeah. We can just trade, you know. If we could trade body parts, that'd also be very helpful for a lot of
Would
us.
be so nice.
Right? Well, incidentally, gender euphoria, feeling like flying, is why Neo flies in the Matrix films and why there's a GIF of him at the top of the text version of this episode at
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
And I will explain that GIF in a minute. But for more on the intentional and deeply specific trans allegories of the Matrix franchise, well, what do you know? I wrote a whole book about it. Link in the show notes. What does gender euphoria feel like to trans folks who don't have dysphoria? I can't say. Not having dysphoria was certainly not anything I'd ever been familiar with. But I suspect it's much the same. Maybe a bit less intense, but maybe not. When gender euphoria really washes over me, it is powerful. It really, truly feels like I'm going to levitate right off the ground. It's this amazing confirmation that I am me. I am the me I always wanted to be, the me I always was, but now made real and here in the world as myself. There is just no feeling like it. So, what gives me gender euphoria? Anyone saying my name still gives me a little bit, even all these years into transition. That's not one of the huge ones that makes me feel like I'm flying, but it does make me tingly. The knowledge that I'm being seen after spending my life not is heady stuff. When Susan here noticed that my voice was changing after I'd been in voice therapy for a while, that was a big one. I covered my voice journey in episodes 45 to 47 of this show. The first time Susan and I went out to eat after I came out, it blew my mind because when the server brought our food, she set down my plate. Hold on, I need to take a breath. I'm getting lightheaded just thinking about it. She set down my food and she said, "For the lady." That is it. That is it. It was the first time a stranger had really done that, just seen me as me, and I thought I was going to explode. Just thinking about it gives me a lot of residual tingles. It's kind of astonishing. It's not as intense when it happens now, but it is still a delight every time. What are some of the other things that spike euphoria for you, Theo? Does being correctly gendered or hearing your name still do it for you, or did it ever?
It really does. The
Yeah.
name in particular, when you said that, it that resonated.
Yeah, Theo.
Heck yeah, Tilly.
I've been in situations with other trans people where we're all just saying our names back and forth to each other all the time, and it's just great. Let's throw it a bit like that because it makes us all feel so good.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Are there other things that specifically give it to you that you or that you like maybe do specifically for the euphoric feeling it gives you?
Gosh, a lot of it is hair. I really like
Yeah.
my head shave day that
Yeah.
I keep a buzz cut and I keep it at a zero usually.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
a little bit it's a few days grown out now, but specifically I usually do it about once a week, and the day that I come out with it fresh, I'm just like, oh, this is perfect.
I love that. Hair is a big one for me too, and it's really wild because the haircut you have now is what I had for most of my life because growing
Oh
my
my
hair out gave
gosh.
me dysphoria, so I couldn't deal with it, so I had to keep it all shaved so short. So you've took taken my old haircut, so I hope you enjoy
Fabulous. I do. Thank
it.
you.
It looks great on you. You wear it so well.
Thank you.
One of the things that gave me the biggest hit of gender euphoria early on, and still does, is super common among trans femmes. In fact, it is so common there's a name for the phenomena within the community: dress go spinny. And here's where I'll explain the animated GIF that opens the text version of this essay, which is Neo flying up above the clouds in his long coat and twirling around from Matrix Reloaded with the text, "Dress go spinny." My friend Adam made it for me after my initial social media threads on the trans allegory of the films, and it is so good. but there's something about seeing and feeling a skirt twirling around us. Maybe that it makes it flare and be more visible, perhaps because we can feel it moving around us and so become more aware of its presence. But it is a really common thing that brings joy to a whole lot of us. And just to talk about The Matrix for a second longer, if you've not read my book, the gist of the entire franchise is that Neo is a trans woman on a journey to her true and final self-actualized self, Trinity. Yes, really. No, I'm not going to explain it here. That's why I wrote Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix. The point is that the Wachowski sisters, who wrote and directed the films, couldn't put Neo in a dress, but a long coat, yeah, you betcha. And every time Neo twirls that coat in the films is while flying and is another moment of gender euphoria. Its dress goes spinny everywhere. There is ample evidence for all of this. Really, read the book, buy my book, get my book from a library, book, book, book. It is also worth mentioning that flight as a metaphor for gender euphoria also shows up in Lisa Frankenstein, see episodes 134 to 141, Barbie, episodes 61 to 68, Real Genius, episodes 103 to 106, and I Saw the TV Glow, episodes 81 to 87 in various ways. How would you describe the euphoria that you feel, Theo? Do you think flight is a good metaphor? Like, how do you describe it?
Actually, it doesn't really feel like flight to me. It feels kind of
Okay.
the opposite. It feels like grounding.
Really?
I
Really?
think
That's
it feels like
fascinating.
I'm kind of snapping back into my body.
Oh, wow. I love that. Yeah, like when I feel that euphoric feeling, it doesn't feel like connecting me to my body. It's like all in my head. It's like this very heady experience. And so I love that you experience it so differently, though. That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, we're neat.
We
We got
are so fascinating. Does it feel for you then very much almost like the opposite of the way dysphoria felt to you? Or like how do the two compare?
Definitely, because dysphoria to me feels like a real disconnection from my body. It feels like
Yeah.
I'm all the way up here in my brain all the time,
Okay.
and that my body kind of that's over there.
Yeah. Okay, that's very fascinating. I love this. Well, I can only speak to gender euphoria as a person who transitioned as an adult. If you got to transition as a kid in a loving environment that let you explore these things, would you still have it? I think so. Would it still be as intense? I have no idea. And before you go and get your brain all smoothed out, let me remind you, no trans kids are getting surgeries, and for trans kids, transition is all largely social. And yes, there are facts to back it up. Trans kids need your support, and if you can't bring yourself to do that, at least leave them the hell alone. See Trans Kids 1, Facts and Dangers, and Trans Kids 2, Trans Flight and the Intake Exam. Those were episodes 127 and 128. Gender euphoria is something that cis folks out there can and do experience too, though maybe less intensely. Although I've never been cis, so I don't know. But I'm curious. I think cis folks probably experience something similar when you. Well, it's more than just having a favorite shirt or something. Do you have a suit, a dress, a top, an accessory, something you know you look freaking great in? Something that makes you feel like, hell yes, this is me. I'm an amazing, beautiful person, and the world will see me as such. I look good and I heckin' know it. It is that turned up to 11. Do you experience that, cis folks? Is it ever so intense that you have to sit down because you might pass out from the overwhelming feeling that you're so very you, the woman or man you were meant to be? Have you felt it? Have you felt anything close to gender euphoria?
Probably not.
No? Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm very particular about things.
You are.
I've definitely had dysphoria trying to figure out what haircut I wanted.
Yeah, when some of them would look bad or too boyish, they bothered you.
Certain things that where I was like, this is bad.
Yeah, you got a little taste of dysphoria.
But like, it's too complicated. Like, the relationship with my body with so much judgment heaped upon it from so many angles for so long, and
Yeah,
trying
from your
to
childhood
even.
too.
Yes. So I am all of that wrapped up in it too.
Sure.
But I don't know. Maybe the more I do roller derby and weightlifting, and I'll feel better about myself, and then it'll be different. Also, you know, struggling to figure out what to wear.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, okay. Well, maybe not clothing related, but then is there ever a moment you had where you just felt like I am so me and the world sees me for who I am?
I don't think so.
No? Wow. We got to find you some gender
I want the
euphoria.
world to see me at all. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Well, if you don't experience gender euphoria, does that mean you're not cis? I don't know. Probably not, but maybe try on something different, something from the opposite end of the spectrum, or even something very gender neutral. See how it makes you feel. Pay attention to everything in your head, heart, and body, and what they're telling you. Explore and see where it takes you. At the very least, you might find you really are cis and just love being that way. A lot of cis people are afraid of that, though, because maybe they're afraid they'll like dressing in clothes associated with a different gender. And then what would that mean? Babes, it may just mean that you're a dude who likes skirts or a lady who likes suits. Or it could be a window into how maybe you're not actually cis. I don't know. If you do end up questioning, see the essay on how do you know if you're trans at.
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Welcome. Or maybe you'll hate the way dressing as a different gender makes you feel, and you'll get the teeniest, tiniest little window into what gender dysphoria is like. Who knows? In fact, for trans people without dysphoria, and even for some of us with dysphoria, following our gender euphoria can be what leads us to realizing we're trans and choosing to transition. So, Theo, what was it for you? Were you chasing euphoria that led you to discover your transness, or was it more about getting away from the dysphoria?
I was chasing euphoria because, again, I don't,
Yeah.
I really didn't, it really didn't click how much what I was feeling was dysphoria until I acknowledged,
Right,
like,
right.
oh, I'm trans.
Yeah.
So it was sort of just like, well, I think I might want to look more like this.
Yeah.
And okay, I think I'm gonna do it. And then it just started an avalanche.
It speeds up real quick once you start
It
going, yeah.
really does.
Well, after a lifetime of dysphoria, of pain and misery and isolation, of drowning in the depths, euphoria can rocket us up into the sky, flying free and full of life and joy at the mere thought of our own existence. Gender euphoria is one of the most amazing, magical things about being trans, but even that might not be uniquely ours. I think it's likely universal. Thanks for being here, Theo.
Thanks for having me.
Folks listening, experiment and find out whether you're trans or cis or unsure. Let me know how it goes. Maybe you'll find something magical, and I'll be waiting for you in the clouds with open arms. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Gillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at TillysTransTuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky, on Mastodon at tillybridgesandmastodon.social, and on Insta at heckyeahtillybridges. And you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of TillysTransTuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies, where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. Signed copies of our comics and my book, Begin Transmission, The Trans Allegories of the Matrix, are available on my coffee shop at ko-fi.com/tillybridges. If you're listening on YouTube, it's so cliche, but please like and subscribe and take a few seconds to leave a comment. Those feed the algorithm and helps the show be found by so many more people. If you're listening on other platforms, ratings and reviews help just as much, and I'd certainly appreciate them. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening. Read the book, buy my book, get my book from a library, book, book, book.